Have you ever heard the expression, "What have you done for me lately?" Of course you have. And that's typically an expression that is used when someone who has done something really good all of a sudden gets criticized and all their good things seem to be forgotten because of this one mistake, because of this one bad moment. In our gospel reading today, it seems like the disciple Peter is having a bit of a "what have you done for me lately" moment with Jesus. You see, if you were around last week and you listened to John's sermon about Peter, Jesus was treating Peter very differently than he's treating Peter in our gospel reading today. Last week, Jesus asked his disciples who he really was, and Peter correctly identified Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus rewarded Peter by saying, "Peter, you are a rock. You are representative of what it means to be a follower of me. I am going to build my church on you." I have no doubt that Peter was probably on cloud nine when he heard Jesus say that. That he was going to be the foundation of the Messiah's church. And yet, in our gospel reading today, Jesus offers a very different attitude towards Peter. In our gospel reading today, Jesus begins to explain to the disciples that as the Messiah, he has to go to Jerusalem, and that he's going to suffer and die on the cross and rise again. Peter, out of genuine concern for Jesus, says, "Lord, this must never happen to you." It's understandable, of course. I mean, why wouldn't Peter want to try to save Jesus from a horrible and painful death? And yet Jesus comes at him not as friend to friend, but strongly, and offers a criticism, Peter. He says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind on human things and not divine things." It seems a bit harsh, but if we look at the scripture reading a bit closer, we'll understand why Jesus said what he said. First of all, Jesus says that he and Peter have divergent agendas. You see, last week, Peter correctly identified Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world. But like many other people, Peter misinterpreted what that actually would look like. You see, for years, people believed that the Messiah would be like another King David in the Old Testament. And King David, as some of you know, was a person who built a powerful earthly kingdom that protected many people and helped not only King David, but all his subjects live in prosperity and safety and security for many years. And this is probably what Peter has in mind when he thinks of Jesus as the Messiah. He believes that Jesus as the Messiah will go into Jerusalem and establish an earthly kingdom, an earthly rule that will last for thousands of years. And as one of his first and closest followers, Peter is going to be a benefactor of that. I kind of imagine that Peter thought that being a follower of Jesus would be like supporting someone or working on someone's political campaign. As you know, generally when someone commits to a position on someone's political campaign, when that person comes into office and is elected, the elected official tries to get their supporters good jobs. Jobs often like cabinet positions. Not necessarily being the leader themselves, but still being a person of power and influence. And so I'm sure that Peter thought when Jesus came into his earthly kingdom that he would have a sort of cabinet position as well. He would have an important job in which he was well respected and treated well and was able to make a good living not only for himself but also his family and live in prosperity and security for many years. But Jesus says quite clearly today that that's not what being the Messiah means. What being the Messiah means is that he's going to have to suffer and die and rise again. That's what God's purpose is for his life. You see, we have a lot in common with Peter. We can connect with Peter on his desire to build a life of safety and security. When Peter says, "Forbid it, Lord, you can't go to the cross and die," Peter's probably not just thinking about Jesus, but he's also thinking about himself as well. Peter probably thinks that if Jesus dies, what does that mean for him? At worst, he would probably die too, and at best, he'd be abandoned and he'd have to start his life all over again. You see, Peter wants to live a life of comfort. Peter wants to live a life of security. Peter wants to live a life of prosperity. And we often are no different. The things that we often desire, the things that we want most of all are health, wealth, and happiness. Not only for ourselves, but also for those that we care about. And we spend our lives dedicated to these things, believing that if we just have enough security, we'll also have peace. But Jesus, in our gospel reading today, teaches us a very important lesson. That peace does not come from earthly security, but peace comes from living out our God-given purpose. In our gospel reading today, Jesus goes on to say that if anyone wants to be his follower, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow Jesus. For those who seek to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for his sake will find it. Well, what does Jesus mean when he says that? Well, first of all, when Jesus says that we are called to pick up our cross and follow him, Jesus isn't saying that we are supposed to find a cross to die on. No. What Jesus is saying is that God's purpose for his life was to die on the cross. And God has a special purpose for our life as well. It's not dying on the cross, but it is something that calls us to go beyond ourselves, calls us to live outside of ourselves. You see, when we think about prosperity, when we think about security, more often than not, we're thinking about protecting ourselves. We're thinking about keeping ourselves safe, keeping ourselves secure, both emotionally, health-wise, and financially. But Jesus is encouraging us to remember that our purpose primarily for our life is not inward, but is called to be outward. I'll put it another way. God wants us to understand that life, at its core, at its most important essence, that life is not a vacation, but life is a mission trip. I'll say it again because it's important. That life is not a vacation, but a mission trip. You see, we are not simply here to relax, to take it easy, to enjoy things. We're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve others. That purpose is to make the world a better place. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a place for enjoying things. There isn't a place for rest and relaxation. Of course there is. I mean, the Bible says in one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That rest and relaxation has its place, has its purpose. But it is not our only purpose. It is not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to love and serve others, to make the world a better place. You see, we live in very difficult and complicated and uncertain times. And many times, people of faith will throw up their hands and look at the world around them, all the problems that we have, all the ways that our culture and our world is being impacted negatively, and they'll move to a place of despair. They'll feel like the world is falling apart. But as Christians, we are called not to move into despair, but we are called to move into purpose. We are called to look at the world around us, look at the problems that exist both in our communities, in our country, in our world, and ask not what is going to happen, but instead ask the question, what can I do to help? What can I do to make things better? You see, as much as we want to be secure, as much as we want to enjoy ourselves, ultimately our purpose is not to simply enjoy life, but our purpose is primarily to do God's will. I thought about this idea a lot recently, and it reminded me of a speech given by Martin Luther King Jr. And it was the last speech before he died, the last speech before he was assassinated. And he was assassinated, as most of you know, at a very, very young age. But I want you to listen to the words in this video clip carefully. I want you to listen to what he says about living a life of purpose versus living a life of security, because I think it's important for understanding our scripture reading today.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
The very next day, after he gave this speech, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And when you hear the words he says about not making it to the mountaintop with others, you have this sense that in some ways, maybe he knew. Maybe there were death threats against his life, and maybe he knew that he wasn't long for this world. But as you listen to these words, you also hear that within him, there's a sense of peace. There's a sense of peace not because he feels completely secure. There's a sense of peace because he knows that he's living out God's purpose for his life. He knows that he's trying to change the world for better. And our peace comes not from security, but our peace comes from purpose as well. Our peace comes, as Jesus says, from picking up our cross and following him. Now you may be sitting there asking yourself, well, what's my purpose? Where do I go? What do I do, especially with everything that's going on in the world today? And there's a quote that I found on Facebook this past week from an unknown author, and I think it sums it up very well. And it's this: as the world fights to figure everything out, I'll be holding doors for strangers, letting people cut in front of me in traffic, saying good morning, keeping babies entertained in grocery lines, stopping to talk to someone who is lonely, tipping generously, waving at police, sharing food, giving children a thumbs up, being patient with sales clerks, smiling at a passerby, and buying a stranger a cup of coffee. Why? Because I will not stand to live in a world where love is invisible. Join me in showing kindness, understanding, and judging less. Be kind to a stranger. Give grace to people who may be having a bad day. Be forgiving with yourself. If you can't find kindness, be kindness. Jesus says at another point in the gospel reading, if any of you want to be great, you must be a servant of all. May you find the courage, the wisdom, and the confidence to be a servant of other people through love and kindness. May you live out your purpose, which is not to build yourself up, but to build others up. Because if you're still here, if you're still breathing, God is not done with you yet. God has a role for you to play, something for you to do to make the world a better place. My prayer for you is that you find that place that you find that purpose, and ultimately, you find the peace that comes from picking up your cross and following Jesus. Let us pray. Holy God, the world often seems like such a scary and overwhelming place. But you call us not to be overwhelmed. You call us to roll up our sleeves and get to work, to find our purpose and our place and follow you. May we use our time on this earth to extend ourselves to love and kindness. May we seek to be a servant of all and love people in the way that you intend. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.